Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we are discussing new content. Kind of. Is it new content? It's content, but is it in the MCU? It's at least in the multiverse. Anyway, X-Men 97 has dropped the first two episodes, and we are going to talk about the first one, To Me, My X-Men. All that and more right after this.
They mentioned Madripoor. I'm in.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall. Sorry. And I'm Jeff Randall. I'm really excited, Matt.
Me too, man. This was really nostalgic.
It really was. Fun. Oh my God. The music. Yeah. The music kicked in and I lost it.
Yes. And I loved it. You think of it. At least I do. I think of that tune as starting. But that drum beat that came in, like, reminded me. So it was like, you know, when you see a thing you really haven't seen that much since your, it just felt so like, oh, this is it. Yeah. Like the synths start coming in. It felt good.
Your body starts moving without you wanting it to.
Yeah. So we'll get into the show and the plot, but like overall, what did you think of this like resurgence of a cartoon that we loved as children that is now back?
It's so good. Mm-hmm. I loved it so much.
Yeah.
So one of the things that like kind of keeps me from going back and watching the old show over and over and over again is just like how absolutely campy it is on the old one. Cause like the original show is just like as hard into camp as they can.
Did you think this one was better?
I think this one does a lot better job.
I do not. I don't think it's a problem though. Like I think it is campy in the way that like Batman 66 is campy or whatever. You know, like it's intentional camp. It's the when she comes in there in this first episode, sorry to jump into it, she's like, "I am Storm, Mistress of the Elements." Like that is campy as hell, man, but it is good and fun.
But that's also Storm's character.
100%, but it's like I think that goes for every character though. They lean into their character so hard, and they know. And I think like after you know 5 seasons of the show, and like we all grew up on it, everyone knows these characters so well, that it's even easier to lean in. You know, like it's same old, man. Like when Cyclops, I meant to talk more generally, but I'm just getting right into it. When Cyclops is like, oh yeah. I'm definitely the good guy. Like that is so
intentionally campy.
Well, like it's also intentionally like almost undercutting his own character. He's a good guy. That's all he is.
He's the everyman.
I would even say that he's like the Boy Scout. You know, he's like
he's got the Logan most boring there. Of them.
Exactly, and he's like all vanilla here. Like he just like charges into battle.
My favorite position is missionary.
oh man,
and any other is a sin. Vanilla ice cream all the way. Only salt on my steak.
Oh man. A1 is too spicy.
I like mayonnaise on my sandwiches like an American.
Oh, man.
That's Cyclops in a nutshell.
Yeah, that's Cyclops in a nutshell. But then you've got Logan as the bad boy, you know? And so, like, him becoming like, I'm definitely the good guy. It's like, there's no grayness here. I am the Boy Scout. Like, I just loved that as his first line, you know? And I really enjoyed... the new character, Roberto da Costa. I don't know anything about him from comics. I did look up like that he is, I guess,
Sunspot.
Spoiler alert, he is Sunspot in the comics. But yeah. I just enjoyed the different bringing. It's very much. Slight criticism, not a criticism. I would have done something different. That isn't really a criticism. It's just okay. That I would have done something different. I really wish that it had been Jubilee leading the team in that first scene because. Or like Jubilee being the one to run point on saving Roberto.
It would have been like the perfect like moment for her stepping up and evolving her character.
Right. Well, and also it's just the launch of the new series.
Yeah.
It is the, you know, from the old series. And the first episode, she is Roberto da Costa. Like, yeah. She's a very different character, but that's the first episode of the series. And I feel like that's an episode a lot of us have seen many times.
Yep.
The Night of the Sentinels.
And the mall.
Yeah. The mall episode, man. It just feels like, so when they go in to save, when I heard they were coming, I was like, oh, it's going to be Jubilee. I think that'd be so cool. And then it wasn't. So that's not really a criticism. It's just kind of like, I kind of wish that had happened. But it is. They do really hang a lantern on that this whole episode. She is the one talking to Roberto and being like, hey man, we're, you know, I was once like you, like I get it, like this is crazy, you wake up in a lab and there's this blue guy hanging upside down, I did that 4 seasons ago, you know.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the thing, is that it's been not that long, like in universe for her.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
It's been a long ass time for us,
right?
Because like when he handed her his card and said page me, I was like, the hell. What is that? Oh, right. This is the 90s. Pagers are a thing.
That's a good call. That's a good call.
So, like, it hasn't been that long for her. It makes sense that she would be, like, the HR, you know, new hire welcoming committee kind of person.
Totally.
But not, like, running point on missions where, like, her powers aren't that freaking useful.
Sure. And it wasn't so much that I thought that, But in the original episode, the Night of the Sentinels, the first episode of the original show, it's not that they're on a mission. She didn't have to be leading a mission, but like,
yeah.
Just, like, they're just in a mall, you know, and like, oh, we're just helping a dude, you know. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's a very very small quibble. I think it works really well, and I love that it gives them the time later in the episode together to have those conversations. And there is a bit of like a I don't know, a little cuteness between them with the dancing and the call me. I'm also single. I really
page
like
me.
I like
page
that's
me.
Right. Page me. He's like, yeah, so you're just like rich and whatever. And he's like, and don't forget single.
Don't forget single.
It's good. I like that character.
Right, and like it kind of feels like that character has nuance where there wasn't any nuance in the original series, you know, like they kind of kept their campiness from those characters, but like it feels like it's a little toned down. Like they've dialed it back just a bit.
Maybe.
To where it's like the nostalgia is still there from the campiness, but like when Cyclops and Jean are having a discussion, like just talking about their lives together, their future together, it seems like there's a lot less of that ridiculous like hamminess that there was in the original series.
I respect your opinion.
Okay.
And I reject it. No, I'm just kidding. I respect your opinion. I think I hear you, but I don't see it as much. I think this is very in line with the original. Like we'd rewatch the original. There's a lot of good nuance, but like I don't know, every conversation, I see the Summer and Scott plotline in this episode as like super melodramatic, like soap opera. Like they're always like hugging and like, we have to leave here, but X-Men is our home. Like it's so big. It's so melodramatic to me, but I like it a lot. It's weird. And it's so, these characters are always archetypes, you know, in this cartoon particularly, they were very much archetypical and like not really as human as some Marvel movies and TV shows are, but man, I love it. I love the like big bold statements and kind of just like making decisions. And I don't know. I like this show. I like the show a lot. I like the original and I really like this new one.
One of the things that I like found myself pointing out, you know, kind of in my head, like as I was watching, what is the word for that? One of the things that I was noticing the whole time, I think, is the word that I'm looking for. God.
What's that word? Notice?
Notice? One of the things that I was noticing pretty much the whole time is the animation. in this one is so much better than the original, which makes sense.
Yes. Yes. The fighting particularly is better.
Yes, that exactly. The fighting animation is amazing.
But they are paying homage to a show that was animated with way less technology on way lower budgets.
Yep.
And some of the times they do things that I thought were hilarious in like looking at the animation and being like, this is so easy to do
right
now. Like there was a scene where they're all sitting around Roberto's bedside and they're talking to Roberto and there's a 5 seconds where Cyclops is speaking and everyone else, including the background and everything, is frozen in place. Cyclops is completely still and he's turned to the side slightly and you can just see his jaw moving for 5 seconds. Like
yep.
The only thing moving in the frame is like this little wiggle of his jaw.
Yep.
And it's just like, that is, back then, they did those kinds of things back then because it's expensive to animate. So they
it's
had these,
a time saver.
Exactly. It's like, this is a moment where they're just speaking, let all the other characters freeze. But these days, it's just not that hard to animate like things the way it was then. Like the technology has improved so much. So
sure.
Like the fact that no one else is even changing facial expressions, it's an intentional homage, but it's also yep. hilarious to me that this, like, you know, Disney Plus show has me watching 5 seconds of a still frame with one jaw barely moving.
Yep.
Really funny to me.
I love it. I love it. Like, the look and feel of it is very mm-hmm. much in line with the original series.
Yeah.
But the animation, sure. when it comes time to, like, okay, a fight is happening, or, you know, when they... oh, God, no, the... Okay, well, sorry. In that opening scene in the warehouse, like the fighting that happened there, the I don't want to call it choreography, but like all of the action that took place, you know, was like it was like they were showing off in that scene. They were like,
yeah.
"Yes, we have the same look and feel of the old one, but we're doing things with newer technology. We can do better animation." And they freaking did it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Cyclops was moving himself around the battlefield using his concussive blast from his eyes.
That was a question amazing. I was going to ask. I thought that was cool, but have we ever seen that before?
No. And I don't think they could do that in the old one.
Oh, I think they could have.
Well, they probably could have, but it would have been a bitch to animate.
Maybe. I just think that that's a weird, like, advancement of his power set if he's able to use it for traversal. I just thought it was weird. I'm not saying it's wrong. I do think your neck doesn't work that way.
sure.
My only thought. Like,
sure.
Unless, like, maybe the concussive blast is blasting his entire body backwards. Like, I guess that's possible. But the way it looked is he's, like, shooting a laser out of his eyes, which is propelling him backwards,
yep.
which it looks like he's... It's that old, you know, like, when the Flash carries someone, he has to carry them kind of like a baby by supporting the head and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Those blasts feel like they would do a lot of damage to him. He's a strong dude, but I don't know if he can, like, traverse by
his
neck.
Does a lot of neck workouts.
Yeah, that's why he's got all those muscles in his neck, just to protect him.
That's why his traps are so big.
Yeah.
Well, okay, if you look at it, though, like, if you watched him, he was doing that with, like, he would look down and mm-hmm. and shoot the blast, so that would provide a bit of upward force to lift him off the ground,
yeah.
make it a little bit easier. It's not so much that like his entire body's just being shoved, like he's
yeah.
almost like hopping. He's using it to hop.
Maybe. I don't know that I saw it that way, but I like it looked more like he's just like blasting himself across the room. But I you know, who knows? Maybe we'll get a little. And also, They use that, and I love a good setup
the
and payoff.
Skydiving.
They used it for the skydiving scene.
Oh
which
my
like,
god!
Again, if it's
gratuitous,
just if all of that weight is on his neck,
absolutely gratuitous.
Oh
like,
man,
that was one of those things where I was like, oh, okay, all right, Cyclops, come on, like
yeah,
there is no reason for you to make a crater like that and terraform. Basically,
mm-hmm.
like completely changed the landscape
oh,
of
yeah.
this natural place.
Well, Storm did the same thing when they got to the sands and turned it all
oh,
to glass.
Oh, that was so
was
cool, though.
So cool.
Oh, my like, God, that was again, so cool, though. Glass tornado.
Yes, glass tornado was bad. I love that.
Oh my god. But yeah, no, like, there's no reason for you to make a freaking crater. You're showing off.
Yeah. So, I think they're doing a lot of cool stuff. I'm excited to watch the second episode. They're really leaning into this plot line with the, you know, Friends of Humanity. And it is very interesting when put in the light of today's political climate. Like, very, very interesting. And I know that, like, that's always been a thing. Like, this is, you know, especially in the 90s, it was talked about how this is a LGBTQ, like, allegory, particularly in the 90s, it was written that way. And this whole, like, the villain...
And, like, original X-Men was, like, an allegory for racism.
Racism, like, exactly. Like they kind of advanced with the times. But this is advancing in an interesting way with the Friends of Humanity having this whole, like... He says, you have no idea how it feels to be left behind by the future. Like, this idea of just, like, literally, like, some people want to hold on to the world, would rather watch the world burn than let it change.
Yep.
And they feel left behind. They feel powerless. There's a bunch of really great lines in that scene with, I forget the character's name. Is it Trask? Is that Trask or is that the other Trask? I think.
Are you talking about the guy who was in prison?
Oh yeah,
that's Gyrick.
Gyrick's in prison. Trask is the guy who they're talking to at the end.
Yeah,
and that's the one I'm thinking of. But yeah, he says tolerance is extinction, which is, like, so. I'm sorry, we don't normally get too political on this podcast, but that's just, like, white replacement rhetoric. Like, literally,
absolutely, yes,
100% white replacement rhetoric. And, like, the thing if I found interesting is Scott is looking at him and trying to see how he can handle this, and he's thinking about how. Golly, I did not think I would get emotional about this show. Like on this podcast, I did not think I was going to get, like, verklempt, but I am. He's thinking about how Professor Xavier would have handled this. You know what I mean? Like, he's, like, balancing his desire to, like, beat these guys up who just killed Charles and stuff, or who, like, sent Charles to space, or however they're going to handle that, because it is kind of unclear still. he's talking about that, and then he's just like, well, you know, he has this look on his eyes, like, you can see it through the little ruby visor. There's this look in the eyes, like, I hear where this guy's coming from, and I'm trying to see how I can reach to him. Like, how can I reach this person? Not just how can I destroy
that gap.
Yeah, like, how can we make humans? And, like, it sets up that dynamic in a way that is, like, really real for right now. Like, really, really real. And I'm on board. I think, like, I'm wondering how far they will go with that, because it feels so directly allegorical for right now. And the idea that you're looking across of a political divide and saying, like, and they're very clear which side these are representing, and saying, like,
how can I extend a hand that they'll take?
How are you Professor X versus Magneto in this situation when they are this hateful and this ready to, like, when they say tolerance is extinction, can you still find a way to be Professor X in that situation? That is freaking hard. And I don't even know that it's right. You know what I mean? Like, it feels so wrong. Like, you want to be on Magneto's side here. You know what I mean? If this were, we haven't even seen what Magneto is going to say about this, but, like, I it's just setting that up in such a cool way. And I'm getting emotional thinking about Scott trying to, like, live up to Professor's, like, example.
Yeah. Oh man. And then at the end of the episode, at the very end, we've got Magneto.
Yes.
Taking over.
Yeah.
So, like,
who the heck's gonna lead the team?
Who the heck's gonna lead the team? Guess it's Magneto. But, like, we only got that brief moment of him talking about the last will and testament, and, like, I love the monologue where he's, like, he's picking up the picture, he's putting it back, hanging it on the wall, and, like, being so gentle with it. He never lost faith in our friendship, and he never. Like, he always forgave my many flaws or my many shortcomings, whatever it was that he said.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's recognizing that Charles was such a dear person to him and was so kind and forgiving and like, and it, you can tell he misses Charles already because it's been like a year since Charles presumably died. But like, along with that, how is he going to honor Charles's legacy? And does having, I guess, control of the school, does having control of that and the X-Men, does that affect him? Does that change him? Is he going to change them? Is he going to kick everybody out and move the Brotherhood in?
Right.
I don't know.
And they now have this connection with this, these other organizations. So like, could he somehow finagle the fact that like, yeah, we're the X-Men. We work with the, they talked about they're working with the UN now, apparently.
Yeah.
Is like, could he somehow use all of that sway they have and be like, oh yes, I'm Charles' successor. And like, I'll send my X-Men right over. You know what I mean? Like, could he, I feel like it's going to be complicated. I feel like that Magneto is going to really try to, like, I think he's going to be affected by Charles's death, which is one of my favorite things in this episode is, the news is talking about Charles's death and they're talking about him in such glowing terms and they're talking about him like another fallen person and they're saying like, you know, he was outed as a mutant but he was killed and they talk about how much how it's made a difference, like they say how good things seem out there is a line that Cyclops says to Rogue, and it's like things have changed and Charles's sacrifice and Charles as a martyr has like moved the conversation forward. And that's like both really sad, but also like kind of touching that he got his, like in death, he achieved some of his wish, you know?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I worry that like Magneto is going to come in and try to, you know, help push that agenda forward, even if he does so in a really sincere manner. He's been on the news, you know, like he's been seen as like really bad guy and announcing like humanity is going extinct and, you know, homo superior, we're replacing you.
Yeah.
Like he's all about that shit. So like, how is he now going to lead this team and do so sincerely and gain people's trust?
Yeah. I don't know that he can, and I don't know that he should. Like, I think that it's setting up a dynamic between, you know, the best friend and enemy of Charles, and then the best friend slash top student of Charles, and them the having successor. To like, yeah, them having to figure out how do you succeed someone like that, and how do you live up to their legacy. It's really, really interesting. I love it. And this episode also had just a bunch of cool things I want to mention. Leech being in the first moments of the episode. Did you notice him like hiding out in the alleyway?
Yeah, he was in the alleyway.
That was cool. I really liked when he's talking to that, Cyclops is talking to the, lady who's running and he's like, trust, the professor always said, trust happens when actions meet words. And it's just so uncompromising. Like I think he's such an asshole.
It's a great line though.
It's a great line.
It makes so much sense. Like you back your words with actions and I'll trust you.
That is literally like a thing you'd learn in therapy. Like right? that's what I love about these kinds of like allegorical, overly broad, big campy shows is lines like that can be said with no like problem. You know what I mean? Like they're just not they don't mind being so
it's not like there's somebody in the background going, okay, like come on.
They're not making fun of him for that. They're letting him be him. And I do think he's like being a total like staunch, stubborn asshole, but I love it. I really like Jubilee dancing with her powers.
Right? Great use of her powers.
Great. It gave me Zemo vibes a little bit.
Oh yes.
That was great. I love the Sentinels. The Sentinels they fought at the end were like zombie Sentinels. They're like all half destroyed. It just was a great visual. Oh, it was so
super
good.
Cool.
Super
and
cool.
And the way that the team worked together there was amazing. Just absolutely amazing.
100%. I mean, we talked about when the trailer came out, but Gambit lighting up the claws is epic.
And like lighting up the claws, lighting up his staff and throwing it so that like it basically helps Wolverine rocket jump. like it's a video game.
I agree. Again, I have to ask about the power sets here. Morph looks like any X-Man or any mutant or anybody. He any doesn't person. Attain the powers of that person, right?
That's what I thought.
I thought so, but he definitely
takes on the power.
He takes on Blob's power for sure in that scene, because otherwise
he would just get pummeled by Wolverine.
Yeah.
He'd just be like, oh God, why did we do that? That was a bad idea. You're so heavy.
Seemed like a good idea at the time. There were two lines that were intriguing to me about maybe what's coming. Yeah. So there's right at the beginning when they're dealing with all those Friends of the Humanity, they say the buyer will pay $10,000 per mutant. Who's the buyer? What do you
think? And he uses them for target practice.
That's what he says, but he says he uses them for target practice, but like, I don't know if that's real.
Don't know how real that is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He might be someone who's collecting mutants to take them somewhere safe. It might be someone who's collecting mutants to study them. He might be Mr. Sinister. He might be whoever. I have no idea who that is. Then also in Jean's vision, she loses control of the vision, and when she does, she's looking into Trask's head, and then she loses control and starts having that weird vision of her without the baby and her holding the baby in like a post-apocalyptic landscape, and there's all this stuff going on. She says, someone else is here.
Yeah, someone else.
And then there's a
Gyrick's head.
There's like an Imhotep dust cloud that comes across that says, I'm sorry.
Not again. He says, not again, I'm sorry.
So what? Who's that?
Who's that?
who's in their heads? It makes me think of Onslaught from the comics. Like when whatever happened, I vaguely remember this plotline, so you'll have to forgive me. But if I remember correctly, Onslaught was Professor X who had somehow gotten out and achieved crazy god status powers and lost control of himself and become Onslaught, if I remember correctly. So that I was thinking that, or just, it seems like it has to be someone else who has telepathy who would be digging around in Trask's head at that moment.
Shadow King.
I thought about Shadow King too. There's a shot in there somewhere. It shows someone drawing some pictures or something, and it made me think of what if it was Shadow King, and then what if it also tied into Legion David. What if David's somewhere in this world living and he's dealing with the Shadow King stuff? I don't know, man.
There's a lot of good threads open.
So many good threads. It was a 28 minute episode or whatever, and I thought we were going to hop on here and talk for 15 minutes and get moving, and I have so much I could still talk about, but I feel like we should go watch the second episode and come back on with more information. But I do think there's tons of great stuff. Gambit, Rogue are awesome. They're a great pair. I love them being a little romantic together. Any man worth it. Any worthy man would be happy. Any worthwhile man would be happy to have your hand in a dance or something like that. It's good, man. It's good. Yep. I love him. I love how they're animating his eyes and stuff. It looks awesome.
His hair looked incredible too.
Yes, it did.
I loved seeing him in the kitchen in that little crop top that he had on.
Yes. Did he light a beignet up and send it at Cyclops?
Yes. Yes, he did.
How wasteful, yes. But also, that's dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
I know he's a wild and crazy guy and all, but
it's a wild card.
You threw a, energized beignet. Well, he probably saw Gene, right? Yeah, I guess. I have to assume. Otherwise, crossing a line,
I'm about to blow up the kitchen.
It's one thing. I mean, these guys get in fights. They push each other. They fight a little bit, whatever. But he almost blew up the mansion kitchen.
He's like, fuck this kitchen.
Yeah. And it's also right in Cyclops' face. What if he loses the visor? I don't know, man.
The whole mansion's gone.
Yeah, exactly. It just seemed a little reckless, Gambit. And I know that's part of your character. But come on, man. He's just like, hey, I guess I just have to imagine he's drunk. Okay, so for now.
He's got to be. He's just constantly drunk.
The rest of the show, Gambit's drunk. Gambit's drunk. He's like hanging out in a crop top, drinking tequila, like, you know, throwing around energized beignets. I dig it.
Yep. Yeah, well, it's Mardi Gras. Like, he is Mardi Gras.
Well, there you go. He is Mardi Gras. That's his, Gambit's his regular name, his code name is Mardi Gras.
Yeah, his code name. Oh, man. And, like, okay, so he obviously saw Jean. Like, realistically, he obviously saw Jean, knew that she would take care of it. And then threw it outside. And that's fine, I guess, because he was counting on her. But the thing that I really don't like about that scene...
Oh, yeah?
They had plates and plates of beignets, and they stacked all the plates on top of each other.
I saw that, too. I guess if
those beignets would have been crushed.
Depends on the thickness of the beignets. There are various thicknesses. Like, I've had... You know, like, if you go to Café du Monde, they're like... They're just like they crumble. But if you go to, like, a lot of places, will have, like, really thick... Like, they're pretty, like... beefy, pretty doughy.
They're still pretty delicate, though. Like, that's the sign of a good beignet is how delicate it is.
I agree. These are homemade beignets. I don't know. Like,
five plates high, though? Like, those bottom ones are, like, nobody's eating that.
I'm with you. And, of course, you can't put anything on it. I just hope there's no powdered sugar on there.
Oh, yeah, really, it's all over the bottom of the plates now.
Yeah, now you got it. They get a whole mess.
Either that, or if there wasn't any powdered sugar on them, now, like, the fat that they were being fried in is on the bottom of the plate. And then you're putting that on the table. That's so gross.
You're really ruining, like...
You're making a mess.
Magneto's going to be so upset. He's like, all I wanted was Charles Good table.
I wanted a clean kitchen. Is that too much to ask?
The rest of the season is just like, who's going to lead us? And it becomes Magneto. And then he's just like annoyed at the children.
He's got a giant chores list.
Yeah, just like he's just really annoyed that the children won't take care of the house.
Nobody's vacuumed the hallway. Everyone's feet go here.
Roomba hasn't been invented, but he like does the vacuum because it's metal.
Yeah.
Yes. He moves it around with his little finger.
He's like, I have an idea for an enterprise.
Magneto invented Roomba. There we go.
Yeah.
We got there with using Sentinel AI tech. And now,
oh no,
all these years later, Roombas will become sentient and come for us.
Yep. Yep.
All right. I enjoyed this. Thanks, Jeff.
Yes. Happy to help.
All right. We're going to be back very, very soon. If you're a patron, this will be dropping almost immediately. But if you're not, we're going to drop this Thursday and Friday this week on the main feed. Hope you guys stick around. And if you want, follow us on strandedpanda.com. We do all kinds of shows. We're doing our big, I was supposed to mention this as a show. We're doing a big multiverse news anniversary show April 2nd. April 2nd, probably 7 o'clock on Twitch and YouTube. We're gonna be doing a big multiverse news. Our first, we got our first year down, and we're gonna do a big party and do some giveaways and hopefully have as many hosts on as we can. We're gonna do like old times with like a Zoom party and stuff. So come hang out. Like, we're gonna drop the Zoom link in the chat and let you guys just join in, and we're gonna all like hang out and just chat about the MCU it's multiverse news.
It's probably gonna be about the MCU.
That's most of it. But just chat and hang out and play games and probably drink some things, and like maybe we'll have beignets.
That's too much.
You're right. Too much to commit to right now.
They're so delicate.
They're so delicate. We'll be back very soon, guys. I can't wait to talk to you guys about the next episode. Peace.
Until next time, true believers. I was almost going to say until next time, my X-Men, but then that's weird.
I don't know. I kind of like it.
Until next time, my X-Men.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. I like that.
Hey, you just listened to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast from Stranded Panda. I really hope you liked it. Let me just say a big thank you to all of our supporters on patreon.com/mcucast. You are the lifeblood of our little operation here, and a huge, huge thank you to our insanely generous Illuminati tier patrons, Walter Kreisky III, Lieutenant Bongo, and Jazz Viz. You guys are amazing. If you'd like to see our beautiful faces, you can catch a video version of many of our episodes at youtube.com/strandedpanda. Love you 3000, my friends.